T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm looking at this Sabres situation right now, and I'm saying, how could Granato not be the front runner for the job? Unless, for whatever reason, he doesn't want to do the job. I got no reason to believe that. You're paying Kruger $3.75 million next year not to coach. And I'm not saying that Granato is cheap or anything like that. It's not what I'm trying to say here. The number for him won't be as high as the number for, say, Tortorella.
That is Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet talking hockey with the Instigators. If you missed that conversation, it is available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com, which is, by the way, our on-demand audio brought to you by Northwest Bank. So make sure you check that out at our website at your leisure.
Yeah, you don't have to say that's cheap, but it's definitely the cheaper option.
For sure.
And that's true for Boudreaux, too. That's something I would bet Granato has in his corner. But I don't think it's a no-brainer that Granato gets the job. He's done a decent enough job. I think he has endeared himself to Sabres fans on some level. That said, I'd bet there's a – you know, we should put a poll up about this. Well, what was the season ends? You did?
I put up a web poll just now.
Okay. Good.
At WGR550.com. It's – I'm trying to remember how I phrased it. Should the Sabres do a coach search or give the job to Granato, I think, is something to that effect.
Did you
effect.
Have both as an option? I mean, you could do a coach search and then just give it
no,
to Granato.
No, I didn't. I had do the search, find the best guy, or – I'm sold on what I saw, hire Granato, something like that.
It comes down to, what do you want, Don Granato or someone that's made the playoffs? Proven it.
Yeah.
That's Tortorella, that's Boudreaux, Gallant, right?
Right.
Those
hey,
guys
Rick
coached...
Tocchet might be a free agent. You have an interest in him, Jeremy?
No, I do not.
No,
I do not.
No, I just saw that story today, or yesterday. Somebody's TSN, maybe. They're talking
about
how... There
seems to be a lot of coaches that aren't going to get fired. They're just going to be free agents available.
His contract is up, yeah.
Rick Tocchet's right. One of them. Travis Green in Vancouver is one of them.
The TSN report was that they might be moving towards an extension with Green, but it's going in the other direction with Tocchet, and I guess it's almost a done deal. Brindamore staying in Carolina, I think. He's supposed to get
Brindamore.
A really big contract down there.
I don't want Rob Brindamore here.
No, well, he's not coming here anyway.
Yeah, so. I know. Either way.
But he's done a great job
really,
down there.
It was tough to swallow the idea of Eric Staal being on the team. Brindamore is the coach. He's done a nice job. I mean, I have no problem with him there. But
yeah. That stupid little march he did as he's taking the Stanley Cup.
Would he wear his ring to the opening press conference as Sabres coach, or would he take it off that day? I'm not... sure what the protocol
Stop,
is.
Stop, you're going to make me sick.
I don't think it's an easy decision on Granato, but I think he should be considered the favorite.
I would go through the process. I don't think you have I don't think there's I as much as I liked what I saw from the team under Granato, I don't think Kevin Adams should just come out this week and say, we've lifted the interim tag, we're really impressed with him, we've talked it over, boom, he's the coach. I don't think you would run a risk of losing Don Granato, by the way, if you don't give him the job. So go through the process and find the right guy. If you think Granato is good at what he does and he worked well with these players and he's got a resume filled with working with younger players, developing guys, because that's what his job has been all about in the minor leagues, the U.S. national program, and now here, then if you go through the process and think this is the best guy for the team we will have going forward, okay, but I think you've got to go and do your search and find the right guy for the job. If he wins it, great. If he doesn't, then, you know, tell me who the guy is.
But that's a little bit like best player available stuff. You don't know, you never can know if they really think he's the best or if he's just the one that gets the job and then you say he's the best. Kevin Adams is empowered to make hockey decisions, right? What if one hockey decision is $5 million more than
the
other?
Well, there's for sure the budget plays into this. There's no question about it. I mean, what does Kevin – if they open this thing up, if they just don't – you know, okay, Granato's the guy. We're really sold. And they open this up. I mean, at some point, doesn't Kevin Adams go to the Pegulas and go, so listen, what kind of my budget am I dealing with salary for the next coach? And that might actually determine who he talks to in the coach search process if they do one.
Right.
You know, if the Pegulas say, listen, we're not paying $5 million for a coach, so, you know, find the best guy within reason.
Exactly. Boudreaux's won everywhere he's been. He's been good.
Yeah.
Gallant's been good. But Boudreaux specifically, to me, is he's the best guy that's out there available.
Yeah.
And you could have proven winner, has won, why wouldn't it work here? Or Granato, who has done a nice job. I mean, Kevin Adams also has to make huge decisions on how good do you expect to be next year? How good do you want to be next year? You know, are you keeping Jack Eichel and building around that? You'll have some cap space. You can make some moves. You'll have the ability to maybe run your centers as Eichel, Reinhart, Mittelstadt. Who knows? Is Reinhart staying at center? Is Reinhart staying here?
Right.
You know, they have very big decisions to make this offseason, and – you know, I do this every year because I'm an idiot, but I'll just say it again. They can be good next year.
Mm-hmm.
It will take the right decisions. They don't frequently make the right decisions in the off season. You know, sometimes they keep a coach they shouldn't. Sometimes they sign players they shouldn't, Cody Eakin. Sometimes, you know, the right moves will be out there. The question is, will they make them? You know, they can be very much improved. They don't have to be terrible.
It's funny. I was looking at, believe it or not, Cap Friendly has a page for Bruce Boudreaux. According to Cap Friendly, he made $2.6 million a season to coach the Minnesota Wild.
Okay.
That seems really low.
Well, he might just really want to coach again. And,
yeah.
You know, $2.6 million's not bad money. Then again, you just mentioned all those coaches that might be free agents. You know, if there are a lot of jobs out there, maybe there's a lot of competition, and that could drive his price up, or it could be there's a lot of openings, so the prices are all down because, you know, there's just so many spots that have to fill.
How many are going to be open? This obviously is. Seattle still hasn't hired a coach, right?
Right, right.
Sounds like Arizona is coming open, but not exactly the most attractive franchise to work for. Who else is – nobody else was fired during the season, were they, fellas? I'm trying to think.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think how many other jobs would be open.
Well, let me double check.
Ottawa just changed over, right? Anaheim, no.
Yeah, DJ Smith is not getting fired in Ottawa.
Yeah, I'm going to the but maybe Detroit. There's been a lot of talk about Blashill, right? Not coming back finally after all those years.
Well, the Flames, they fired Jeff Ward.
Right.
Daryl Sutter is now their head coach. I don't know how long that's going to last. Because they haven't been very good. The Canadiens fired Claude Julien. So
they're not changing.
Dominique Ducharme.
I shouldn't say that. I mean, they're making the playoffs.
They are making the playoffs. Let's see here. Just going through. And that's pretty much it.
Unless Chris Drury doesn't. I mean, he's been in the front office anyway, so he's familiar with David Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe. I don't know if Chris Drury does the whole I want to bring in my own guy routine in New York. Anyway.
Anaheim might fire Dallas Eakins.
Yeah, they've had a bad year.
They've been very bad.
Yep. So maybe a handful of teams out there competing. Actually, and Tortorella, if he leaves Columbus, then Columbus has got to find a new coach
because
he would be on the market. So, I was just going to say, go ahead.
It'll be interesting. I mean, Kevin Adams, last offseason he was, I mean, doing Ralph's bidding might be a little strong, but isn't that kind of what it was?
Yeah, it sounded like he got guys that Ralph really wanted.
We got to fix the penalty kill. Oh, and by the way, Taylor Hall is a Ralph idea, and we're going to do that for 1 year.
Cody
the Sabres
Eakin.
Wanted 1 year for Taylor Hall, so they didn't want to make the longer commitment to him. So Kevin Adams, who do you want your coach to be? What kind of team do you envision?
Right.
Does he like the look of this Granato bunch? Does he like the look of Granato's style? Is he, you know, there's a lot of questions to answer. In the end of season press conference, whenever that happens, you know, what's your plan for Jack Eichel is obviously question number one.
Mm-hmm.
It's more important than the coach. What are you going to do with your best player?
Yeah, that would be kind of a big deal, I think, to determine his future in the offseason. How fast are they moving on this thing? You know, they've had weeks to actually, I mean, for all we know, I mean, there's nothing that would have prevented Kevin Adams from doing Zoom calls with the Boudreaux and the Gallants and whoever. I mean, the guys that are not under contract. You couldn't talk to Tortorella, of course, that would end Tampa. But, you know, he could have been doing homework, at the very least doing homework, research, calling guys who know guys that he's got on his short list. He should have been able to do he got the Karmanos hire. Once he got the Karmanos hire done, couldn't Kevin Adams had turned his thoughts to, let me start getting my short list together, doing my background checks, doing my research, calling guys, picking brains. So, you know, how long does he need to move on the coach search once the season, well, after this weekend? You know, I think he could get to it pretty quickly. The draft is still, what, 2 months away? More than 2 months away. Free agency, all that stuff. So I would hope that he moves on the coach rather quickly and that he's already been able to do some homework on that front.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what if they don't hire Granato? Do they talk to Granato and the coach they hire and say, we really like to keep Don on the staff. He did a really good job here?
Well, you'd have to ask yourself if he would want to do that.
Yeah. You got to talk to him and the guy who's getting hired.
Do I want a demotion?
Right. Does he think he can peddle this into one of those other jobs that's opening up around the league?
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously this guy, I don't know. He's had a long run as a coach at various levels, and I'm sure, you know, he was waiting for that chance to be a head coach. Yeah, I wonder. I don't know if that's something the Sabres would consider, because I'm sure they're very happy with a number of improvements that have been made. And, you know, we talk about it too. It's not, you know, I know you never hire a coach based on what he says, but his approach philosophically, you know, by listening to what he says, you learn what this man's approach is philosophically to how to coach and play the game. And a lot of things he said are things that are pleasing to the ears of Sabres fans. So, check the box on what he says. Check the box on following up what he says with actions. It's how you want this team to play. I mean, they're not equipped to get into a run-and-gun game with Pittsburgh, but it was fun to watch, quite honestly. But a lot of the style of play, the offense, attack, don't just dump and chase. You know, green light to defensemen. The whole list of things we've learned. There's a lot of positives there. So I guess I would wonder if it's enough for the Sabres to hire him, or could they say, we want to get a guy with some experience, whatever, guys who's coached in playoff games, all that stuff, but Don, we value your contributions to this staff. We'd like to keep you here and then go from there. I don't know. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah. I think you wonder about the pride that a coach has at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, I've done a good enough job. Why would I stay on with somebody else's staff?
Yeah.
And there's something else to be said for. He was already on somebody else's staff,
right.
And that someone else, he worked for that someone else despite having greatly different ideas
opposed, and I was going to say diametrically opposed to a lot of
everything.
The stuff they were coaching at the time.
Everything, yeah. the way they speak with the media, the way they talk. I mean, everything was different.
Yeah.
The fear of mistakes, the green lights for young players. So I don't know. I don't know how Granato would handle that. He just got out from under someone that he worked for, and I would imagine he did a nice job for Ralph Kruger.
Yeah.
But you just got out from under it and finally got to show your own style, and it is – for the people here, it's a breath of fresh air.
Yes, it has.
And I guess who are you hiring? Am I going to go work? And just,
You know what you're saying? It's funny, but this is basically what you're saying. Granato gets to interview the guy they're hiring to see if he wants to work for him.
For his own self. But an element of, you know, a backup quarterback goes in and has a really sharp six-game stretch at the end of a season. And then the team drafts a new rookie. And if the rookie doesn't look good early, we're going to be saying, what about that guy you had before? I mean, he looked like he had some good answers here. So there's, you could say Granato interviews if he wants to be on the staff. The other head coach, right? Kruger ran out Chris Taylor because he didn't want him.
Yeah,
so
he would have helped.
If whoever comes in, I don't know if there's just a lot to work on here to figure out who's going to be where. But the idea that Granato would stay as an assistant, I mean, Steve Smith made it, right? Made it from Housley to
carried over to
Kruger.
Right.
So it's not that unusual for assistants to maybe stay on board. Goaltending coaches have gone and spanned years and years and years. I don't know. I think it's Granato or someone else. Mm-hmm. The idea that he would stay might be a tough sell for at least one party involved.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, like I said, if you're him, if it turns out that, you know, he interviews for the job, he doesn't get the job, then if I'm him, obviously the first thing I would think of, okay, how many other jobs are open around the league? do I have a shot? Do I have a shot at parlaying the improvement that happened while I was interim coach of the Sabres into someone else hiring me as head coach? If not, then he would have to think about, okay, what's the best assistant coach scenario for me right now? Mm-hmm. Is it here? Would I be in the running for another job on one of the other jobs that opened up? Because, of course, I'm sure he wants to be in coaching next season. So if I don't get the top job here, where's the best assistant spot? And that, I mean, obviously I couldn't tell you. I don't know what's in Don Granato's mind. At that point, that would be, the choice for him is, where's the best place for me to coach right now? Who do I want to work for?
We haven't talked about the NHL's statement and fine to the Rangers, $250,000.
Yeah.
For public comments disparaging George Parros. Quote, while we don't expect our clubs to agree with every decision rendered by the Department of Player Safety, the extent to which the Rangers expressed their disagreement was unacceptable.
Yeah.
It is terribly unfair to question George Parros' professionalism and dedication to his role in the Department of Player Safety.
Okay, the statement itself is incorrect.
It's not unfair. It's totally fair to question, yes.
And they weren't
anybody.
Questioning his professionalism, dedication. Nobody said Parros doesn't spend enough time looking at the videotape. They questioned his ability to do the job the right way. It had nothing to do. Did anybody question? I'll pull up the Rangers statement. Maybe there were quotes that questioned his professionalism. They basically said he's not good enough to handle the job. That's not dedication. Nobody said he's not putting in enough hours. Hey, we heard Parros leaves the office at 4. What the hell's up with this guy? It's that he doesn't meet out the right suspensions. He doesn't do the job correctly. So, it's not unfair to criticize anybody for anything in this day and age. You're allowed to do that. You're a team in the National Hockey League. You can have an opinion. You're just not supposed to do it publicly, right? Mm-hmm. Why don't they just say, we're fining you $250,000 because teams aren't allowed to publicly criticize anything we do? That's it. Just issue that statement. Yeah, we don't criticize anything we do. You owe us $250,000.
The real funny thing I thought was those pointing out that you could slam Artemi Panarin to the ice 50 times for that cost.
I know. Right. Well, apparently there's nothing in the CBA that limits. There's no maximum allowable fine for teams, I guess, in the CBA.
Yeah.
I mean, right? That's it. You can only fine a player so much. It's collectively bargained.
Also, it's a little bit ironic. Fining the Rangers' response should be, we pay for the league to exist anyway.
Yeah, we're a member club.
Well, and they're one of the ones that makes money. Yeah. And, you know, back when we had that last lockout, we found out there were like 5 teams that basically pay for the rest to exist. The Rangers are one of those teams.
Yeah.
So you can't fine the Coyotes. They'd have to borrow the money from the Rangers.
Yeah. Nashville. I don't know why Nashville popped into my head, but Coyotes is a great one. I don't even know if the Coyotes have $250,000.
I mean, the Sabres might need to borrow $250,000 from the Rangers. There's plenty of teams that, you know, hey, Leafs, can we borrow some cash? We're just going to pay it back to you. You know, you're the league anyway.
Hey, just print out a little more money, Toronto, and send it to us, please. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-552-550. Let's see, what do I owe you?
I've got something when we get back.
Okay. No, I wanted to – there's some – oh, standings. Let me do this too. NHL standings brought to you by Dash's Market Shop, the family of finer foods. That would be Dash's Markets. Okay, the Sabres clinch last. So who has – there are really no great races for final playoff spots. Some spots aren't clinched yet, but it'd be a collapse on the team in fourth place. So here are the standings. What still isn't clinched? The final spot in the Central, Nashville is in position to clinch it over Dallas. All 4 spots in the East are clinched. The 4th spot of the North is not done, but Montreal's got a 10-point lead on Calgary. It would take an historic collapse to blow that. And the final spot in the West is not clinched, but the Blues have a 6-point lead on the Coyotes, and the Coyotes have only – actually, oh, no, it's the Kings. Take my word for it. They're not clinched, but those teams that I just mentioned are going to clinch the 4th and final spots in their respective divisions. There's no big race going on except for seeding.
When we get back, sports, it's all about disrespect. Were the Bills disrespected yesterday by a ranking of a particular position group?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Casey Mittelstadt with an intercept, brings it in the Pittsburgh zone. Thompson scores! Tage Thompson on the feed for Mittelstadt. And the Sabres have tied the game at two. Ristolainen keeping it in at the point. Tage Thompson turns, nice pass in front. Skinner scores! There it is, Jeff Skinner picks up his first power play goal of the season. And the Sabres get their fourth of the night.
First moments of the game, Dan Dunleavy on the call. And the moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
Sabres at Penguins tomorrow to close the season.
Indeed, sir.
Two Bills things for you here. A little fun, a little disrespect.
I'm all for that.
So yesterday, NFL on CBS asked tweeted out a little graphic that I saw some Bills fans, including Stephon Diggs, jumping in on, like,
oh, was that the whole playing injured thing?
No.
Oh, that's different. All right.
He said he played with a torn oblique, which,
yeah,
we did know he had an oblique injury. We didn't know it was torn, so yeah, he was not playing at 100% late in the season. But NFL on CBS's Twitter account asked, who has the best wide receiver core in the NFL? And listed eight nominees. The Bills did not make the list.
How is that possible?
Here are the nominees.
Did they not watch the season?
Well, let me give you the nominees, okay?
Yeah.
If we're talking, it's tandems, really, because every picture is of two receivers.
All right.
So for that, are we doing Diggs and Beasley?
Yeah, I mean, Brown was injured; his numbers were down. I assume
he's not on the team anymore either. It's going forward.
Oh, it's going forward. I got you. All right.
Yes.
Diggs and Beasley. Okay.
Diggs and Beasley. All right. Versus, here are your nominees: Evans and Godwin.
Hey, they're good.
Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen.
Uh-huh.
DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett.
Uh-huh.
Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry. Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones. Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb. So those are, oh, I'm sorry, I left out DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, Carolina.
What? I mean, they're good, but come on. Seriously?
Yeah. I thought about that, too.
Seriously?
Who came up with this list?
NFL on CBS put out this list. Now, here's the thing, though. I Beasley's different because, you know, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, there's not a slot guy really there, right? And some teams pass the ball a lot, some teams don't. There's no doubt Diggs is one of the best in the league. And Beasley is one of the best at what he does. You know, the Bills use Beasley a lot. If you were to say...
So they're looking for the two best outside receivers. They're not really taking in slot guys.
I mean, it looks a lot like that. Thielen works in the middle an awful lot, right? Landry, I don't know. It's not really best outside receivers. But if we're talking about the Bills receiving core as a whole, last year we would have said it's a top five unit. Would we still say that right now?
Yeah.
We know more about Gabriel Davis.
Yep.
He looks great.
Yep.
Isaiah McKenzie's a nice piece, of course.
Brown out, Sanders in.
You might say that's a swap. You might say that's an upgrade. You might say that's a downgrade.
I think it's really slight downgrade.
I think it's fair to treat that as a push.
Yep.
You know, we could all just kind of agree to put that as a push. So where's the receiving core in the league? And don't forget to add, you know, Jalen Waddle to Miami. Nice. And Will Fuller,
Will
too.
Fuller, yeah.
Don't forget to add Ja'Marr Chase to Cincinnati with T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. Like, that looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
A number of receivers jumped into the league this year and have gone to teams that had strong groups before.
I think Denver will have a strong group. I don't know how
Jerry
strong.
Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton.
Yep.
If you include tight ends, then Atlanta, of course, with Julio and Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts. You know, the what I'm getting to is, I mean, the league is flush with weapons. There are a lot of really good cores and really good pass-catching groups. And the Bills is still really good because of mainly because of Diggs and Beasley, and the other pieces are nice, you know. Is it were they disrespected? Did Diggs and Beasley deserve to be on this list? I think
at the very least, they're better than Carolina.
Yeah,
at the very least, I would make the case they're better than Minnesota.
I think DJ Moore is great, but like still waiting to see that unlocked a bit more.
Right.
Robbie Anderson's really nice too, but you know, it's not like the production from those two was off the charts. Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
Jefferson and Thielen.
I mean, Woods and Kupp are good receivers. But
really good.
I mean, Diggs is better than both of those guys.
Yes. Diggs is better than most of the guys on this list.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Probably not Beckham when he's healthy.
Maybe not.
I mean, he missed a lot of games.
Evans is different.
I mean, Tampa's a solid choice. I mean, Godwin, Evans, very good. No problem with that choice. Even Seattle with Lockett and Metcalf.
Yeah. But. So anyway, this actually gets me to a second part of a Bills conversation I wanted to have. Mike Renner has his first mock draft for 2022 for Pro Football Focus. I know. We just got rid of mock drafts.
You're killing me with this. Great.
All right, first question. Where does he have the Bills picking?
28th.
29. Which means, you know, the implied here is they lose the AFC Championship game to the Chiefs. Chiefs-Bucks is the Super Bowl. The final four picks are Bills, Rams, Bucks, and Chiefs. The Lions have that Rams pick. Anyway, at the 29th pick, the Bills take a safety.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
A safety?
A safety.
Huh. All right, well, so we're going to have that 29th pick discussion again.
Right. And as we talk about receiving cores, and we talk about, you know, that setup there with who's got the best receiving core, I don't know how I'll come off of they should draft a first-round receiver. I've got, like, 358 days to get there.
Yeah.
They should probably go with a receiver in the first round.
Yeah. Safety.
They're going to need to bolster it the same way they just did their defensive ends.
Right. So I assume Mike Renner's looking at the salary cap chart going Poyer and Hyde aren't playing forever.
Maybe.
Because why would you draft a safety with the first pick? Yeah, that's weird. I would go either wide. If I had to make a guess today, I would go either wide receiver or still cornerback.
Corner.
Depending on what happens at that position this season.
Yeah. I hope that Sanders fits in nicely. You know, Emmanuel Sanders has had a really nice career. And he's bounced around probably more than he needed to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for whatever reason, if it's teams just see him as expendable, but at the same time, they see him as valuable. He's been on a few different teams. I mean, started in Pittsburgh, then to Denver, where he had a nice career and fit in with Peyton Manning, right? He had a huge year with Peyton Manning, 1,400 yards. Goes to San Francisco, New Orleans briefly. I mean, he's been productive, and his numbers everywhere he goes are, I mean, steady.
Yeah, I think with him, I think, you know, you really don't lose a lot from Brown to Sanders if you lose anything. As I said, I think it's incredibly slight. 1 through 4, if it isn't the deepest group, 1 through 4, in whatever order you want to rank Diggs, Beasley, Sanders, and Gabriel Davis, who the heck beats it? Tampa? I'm trying to think who the
Godwin, Brown, Evans, Brown, and
yeah, I mean, you know, it's a really short list. I mean, if they're not one, I don't think they're lower than 2.
Yep.
1 through 4. I'm not saying like Kansas City with Hill, if you throw in Kelsey, if you're throwing in tight ends, but they're top
it's Hill
heavy.
And right, yeah.
You know, if 1 through 4, it still has to be, if not the deepest, one of the deepest receiving groups in the league next season. I know that's different from the question from CBS. That was just a tandem. Yeah, I think they got disrespected, and it's going to be one of the deepest, if not the deepest, groups again next season. For sure. All right, we'll get a break in. 803-0550. Hey, it's Friday. Thanks for hanging out with us. 888-550-2550. You can share your thoughts on our discussions. You can bring in something else, change the topic, whatever you would like to do. When we get back, F1 fans, mark down your Sunday morning plan here. 855. Spanish Grand Prix. We'll get a little F1 update. Some rumors that rankled Valtteri Bottas this week. We'll talk a little bit about that. The great race that's going on with Red Bull and Mercedes and all that neat fun stuff. Luke Smith from Autosport joining us next, WGR.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Sunday morning, 8:55, ESPN. Have your scones or whatever the heck you have for Sunday muffins. And be ready for some racing, F1 style. Formula One reporter for Autosport, Luke Smith, joining us on our Western Hotline Spanish Grand Prix of Sunday. Luke, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing good, thank you. How are you?
Doing well. So, you know, you guys who cover this sport and have for a while, how much are you enjoying the whole Hamilton-Verstappen battle through the early portion of the schedule?
Oh, we are absolutely loving it, honestly. It's something that I think has really been missing in F1 for quite a few years. We saw the sort of Hamilton versus Sebastian Vettel fight a few years back when Mercedes and Ferrari were very evenly matched. But even then, I think you kind of always have this feeling that in the end, Mercedes and Lewis Hamilton, they would win in the end. They would still have that little extra something that would see them to the title. But this year, it's too close to call in the early part of this season. And yeah, we're absolutely loving it. It's making some amazing viewing and some great racing.
What's the relationship like between the team principals, the two teams? You know, Mercedes has been the dominant team. Red Bull is the only team really legitimately fighting against them. Do those, like, there was a moment at the end of the race last week, Luke, where, you know, they did kind of an exchange between Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen, and they congratulate each other on the race, and it feels like there's a healthy respect outwardly. Is there inwardly between those two teams now?
Between the drivers, yes, definitely. I think that Max and Lewis, I think they really respect each other. Lewis, I think he likes the idea that he's kind of the older guy, and he's got this sort of, I guess, sort of young Jedi who he's fighting against and wants to try and dethrone him and be the man to take the title away. So I think between the drivers, there's definitely that level of respect. So I think between the teams, it's maybe a bit more sort of tense because I think, as you say, Red Bull, they're the team that are looking to, after so many years sort of without winning a championship, they want to beat Mercedes. They want to try and knock it off its perch. So I think that there's maybe a bit of tension there. We sometimes see some comments in the media where sort of Christian Horner and Toto Wolff will fire shots back and forth at each other, and yep. it's all good fun though. Like, I think it's well intended. I think that it's all part of the game. They know it's sort of part of it to wind each other up. We've got an interesting story at the moment where Red Bull are signing lots of Mercedes engine staff who played such a big role in Mercedes winning all these championships, and they're now going off to join Red Bull in the next year or two. So there's that as well. So, but I think between the drivers, it is a real healthy respect, and I think they're loving this challenge against each other.
And I think, you know what, you tell me, Luke, but it looks like because it's so close now, again, through just three races, but because it's so close, race strategy, pit strategy, there are so many things that are now being scrutinized closely for both teams by the media, by the fans, that maybe hadn't been the case.
Yeah, definitely, because I think they're looking for any little area where a driver might make a mistake or a team might make a mistake. That now, in the past, like, okay, if you lose 3-4 seconds on a pit stop and you're going to win the race by 20 seconds anyway, it doesn't really matter. But now it makes all the difference. And Red Bull, I mean, they've been a team who their pit stops have been renowned for being the quickest in the world. They're consistently under 2 seconds to get the car serviced and on its way again. So it's little things like that that I think do give an extra advantage and an extra edge. And I think we saw even the fine margins at the last race in Portugal where Max Verstappen, he went a little bit off track on his final lap that would have been the fastest lap of the race, but it got the time got deleted because he went off track. And that lost him a bonus point. And at the end of the year, we might look at that point and go, well, that's where the title is decided. And it's crazy to think it's such fine margins that it could be the sake of a few millimetres of circuit that actually decides where this title goes. But that just sums up just how close it is between these two teams right now.
This week Bottas had to come out and address some rumors about his future. What is going on with that?
Yeah, so it was a report from a British newspaper citing a Mercedes source that Bottas could be on his way out before the end of the season. It's kind of one of these stories that no one else has heard it, and we didn't really think a lot of it. But he did get asked about it yesterday. He hit back at the rumours. He called it a word that I can't say on morning radio, but he made clear that it's absolutely not true. And I think it's not something that is going to happen. No, I think that we're only through three races of the season. Bottas, I mean, he was on pole position last time in Portugal. He was fastest in practice this morning. Lewis Hamilton, he loves racing alongside Bottas, and even he said people need to give Valtteri a break. Like, he's doing a good job. He's maybe not got things quite perfect for the races yet, but that will come in time. So I think nothing to look into with those rumours just yet. I think that as we get towards the end of the season and we look to 2022, that's when we'll start thinking about could there be a change there. But there's no way it will be before the end of the season.
We're with Luke Smith, F1 reporter for Autosport. Everything tends to go towards Mercedes, Red Bull, and I understand that. Is Lando Norris the third best driver, the best non-Mercedes Red Bull driver on the circuit?
Right now, I would say he is. Yeah, I think that he's been excellent. I think Lando, he's through his first couple of years in F1, he maybe was always a bit of the sort of in the shadows a bit in McLaren when they had Carlos Sainz Jr., who has now joined Ferrari. And with Daniel Ricciardo joining McLaren for this year, that was kind of seen as a big matchup. But I think most people thought, well, Ricciardo, he's won races, he's seen as sort of being a championship quality driver, that he would easily dominate. But actually, that's not been the case at all. Lando has, I think, put the sort of knowledge he's got of McLaren to good use, and through the first part of the season has been absolutely faultless. And even he said himself that he thinks he's in the best form of his F1 career to date. I don't think anyone would argue that. And it's just really cool to see that I think McLaren, after so many years, they've kind of been on the rise. And now they've got this young driver who's doing excellently as well. And the stars are just aligning for them at the right time. They're looking like a really good package this season.
Well, all right, Luke, set us up for this weekend and for Sunday. What do we need to know about the track, the race, and what might happen Sunday morning?
Well, I think we're going to look ahead to another really close fight between Mercedes and Red Bull. The Spanish Grand Prix, it's a race that Mercedes have dominated in recent history. I think they've won 6 of the last 7 races in Spain, but the only man to break that is Max Verstappen. He won his first race for Red Bull here in 2016, so it's a track that he knows well and that he likes. It's a track where overtaking is quite difficult, so I think qualifying is going to be massively important on Saturday. But the drivers, I mean, obviously working with their teams in terms of strategy and things like that, try and get a jump on their rivals where they can. They made a bit of a layout change this year to one of the corners, trying to make it a bit better for overtaking. So that's a new challenge for the drivers as well. We saw one of the drivers go off that corner this morning, so it's already caught someone out. And I think it's just going to be a really close race. I think that Mercedes, they know this track well. This is a track that they do testing at the drivers, I mean, I'm not exaggerating when I say they've probably done thousands of laps of this track. So everyone is very sort of well-tuned for it. So I think it's going to be really interesting. But, yeah, again, to pick between Mercedes and Red Bull right now, it's just too close to call.
Well, it's been fun. Enjoy the race this weekend. It sounds like it's going to be a great schedule the rest of the year. And thanks for giving us some of your time this morning, Luke.
Anytime, guys. Thank you very much.
You bet. That is Luke Smith, Formula One reporter, Autosport, 8:55 again Sunday morning ESPN. If you're looking for an F1 fix, that's the plan there. Hey, real quick, congratulations to our friends over at KISS 98.5. They ran another great KISS Cares Radiothon yesterday, but also thank you to everybody who donated. They raised over $84,300 yesterday in just 12 hours for Oshai Children's Hospital. Fantastic cause. And, of course, we all know times have been really tough for the last year plus for a lot of people. If you were able to donate, again, thank you very much for helping out. A fabulous cause. And our thanks and congratulations to Janet, Nick, Wheeze, everybody over at KISS 98.5 for raising money for a fantastic institution here in Buffalo with all the great work they do at Children's Hospital. 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. Still to come, we'll talk a little bit about the hockey team, their season winding down tomorrow. Paul's going to join us at 8:30. We have Genesis tickets to give away still. Stay tuned for that as well on WGR.